Welcome to the BizNews Premium Briefing. I'm Alec Hogg, and this is your podcast, our daily private conversation where we go behind the scenes of the website, check in on BizNews TV, and I share a few thoughts from my world. This is The Inner Circle. It's Thursday, the 30th of October, 2025. Glad to have you with me. Well, I hope you've been watching the BizNews Briefing because it's evolving into the final product that will be launching on ENCA on the 17th of November. Yep, I can confirm that today. We have concluded all the back ends and we're now trying to get everything right for the big launch date. But you will see it's a 13-minute program and one where we tighten up the news of the day. Today, I've been focusing on the Mozambican gas fields and the tragedy around it. This is the second biggest gas deposit on Earth. Now, let that sink in for a moment. The biggest is the one shared between Qatar and Iran. This one is exploitable to the nth degree. It is also has the potential to transform the Mozambican economy. Not least the existing projects that are in there. There are two big ones. The one is being driven by Total. That's a $20 billion project. And the other one by ExxonMobil, which is a $30 billion project. Those projects alone will double the GDP of Mozambique. Unfortunately, they were supposed to be online, on stream in 2018. That is 7 years ago. What's made them possible is that gas can now be converted into liquid petroleum, which is portable, it's clean, it's efficient, and it's what the world needs. But it's not able to be produced because there is an Islamist military group, which is pretty efficient and pretty brutal on the northern border. This is up in the north of Mozambique, the Cabo Delgado province, and just across the border is where these terrorists reside. They are linked with a similar body in the east of the DRC, and it is the scourge of Africa, these terrorist groups who want to take the continent back to the, well, perhaps previous century, but they certainly want the continent, people in the continent, to conform to their view of the world. Now, the Russian Wagner mercenaries have had a go. They've pulled out. They've lost too many men. There's been a South African contingent there as part of a SADC force. They've pulled out as well. And the Rwandan military were brought in. And so far, so good. However, not good enough, because although Total announced over the weekend, to great fanfare, that the force majeure that has been in place since 2021, that was when the militarists had a massive invasion at the plants and Total had to pull out all of its staff. That has lasted 4 years. The Mozambicans are in there as well. So you've got the Mozambican army and you've got the Rwandan military. And in the last few days, there has been a severe escalation in the attacks from the Islamist militarists. And as a consequence, a press conference that should have been held yesterday with the new president of Mozambique, President Daniel Chapo, who is in the United States at the moment, and executives from ExxonMobil in Houston, Texas, where the oil company is based, that press conference was cancelled. The hope, I guess, for those who are looking on the bright side, is that there was some kind of a sticking point in the negotiations between the country and the company. But the activist groups like Oxfam are telling us it's to do with an escalation in the Islamist militarists. Now, the problem, as I was told this afternoon by Josh Maservi, he is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute in Washington, and he's their guy who looks after Africa, but more particularly counterterrorism and geopolitics in Africa. The problem here for Total is that on Sunday, they announced the end of the force majeure. And what that meant was that in law, if there's something that is beyond your control, like a terrorist attack, then you can suspend your obligations. But now they've released that. And so the obligations are going to have to be fulfilled. There was a $4.5 billion tax benefit to make up for the last 4 years, which was negotiated between the Mozambican government and Total. But whether that's going to be enough with the kind of world that we're entering into now is anyone's guess. It's such a tragedy. And for South Africa as well, we're very involved in all of this. We've got probably 10, maybe 12,000 South Africans who have been working on those projects, from engineers to artisans to other specialists who are up there. And on the other hand, you do know that South Africa's relative prosperity compared with Mozambique's has been sucking in many illegal immigrants from Mozambique, and that does not augur well for the resources of this country. Much, much better to not be a sea of relative prosperity, an island of relative prosperity in a sea of poverty. And this was one opportunity that many were seeing as pulling out the Mozambican difficulties. But there's a long, long way to go. It's a story that we're going to watch very closely. President Chapo is actually in Washington, D.C. today, so it'll be intriguing to get feedback on the meetings he has there. Josh Maservi's interview unpacked quite a lot of the inside story. It'll be up on Biz News a little later this evening. Also today, I had a look at the Fairvest transaction because this one puzzled me. Here's a REIT, a property investment company, that has invested 674 million rand into two shopping centers in deep rural KZN. They don't even own the land on which the shopping centers are built. That land is owned by the Ngonyama Trust, and they are, to all intents and purposes, servicing the people who live off the 350 rand a month social grant. Now, the fact is, there are a heck of a lot of them in the catchment area of these two shopping centers, the one in Jasini, which is in the far north of KZN, the other one in Tugela Ferry, which is in the Masinga district. And as we well know from the G.G. Alcock books and his history, Masinga is the poorest district and the worst governed district in South Africa. So people there are surviving on social grants, and as a consequence of that, they need a shopping center, and the shopping center has now been purchased by Fairvest. Now, all good and well, they're talking about a 10% yield, but those with even short memories will remember in 2021 how difficult it was for shopping center owners to protect their assets when the riots in KZN occurred. We had a fabulous presentation by Jason McCormick at one of the BizNews conferences where he took us through those 6 days of hell and how they had to literally put their own military organizations in those shopping centers to fight fire with fire. It is a interesting investment. It's a high-risk investment, but Fairvest kind of likes that type of thing. It moves away from the more stable shopping centers in the metropolitan areas where you get a yield of between 6 to 8% and prefers to get a better yield by going into areas that others would perceive as riskier. I was hoping to talk to the CEO today. He's a bit busy, so maybe at some time in future, we'll get their strategy or their logic for doing a transaction like this. But it's 674 million rand, all funded in debt. I think for me, that looks pretty high risk when you're getting a 10% return. I'd like a lot more than that if I was buying a shopping centre in Tugela Ferry. Anyway, that's it for the for your BizNews premium briefing for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Cheerio.